Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Hello again. I'm on Circles of Change, and I've got a very special dad-daughter segment with daughter this time with Rachel Derry from the Greater Detroit area. How are you this morning, Rachel?
I'm great, Dr. Larson. How are you?
Just terrific. Well, let me give a brief introduction. Rachel is a 17-year-old rising high school senior, and when she isn't in the pool as a competitive swimmer, engaged with homeschool challenges, or at the computer typing a story for a high school newspaper, she can be found reading a history book or watching Pride and Prejudice. Or last but not least, in the shop with Dad Roger Derry, a nationally, if not internationally, known precision gemstone cutter. Roger is the founder and president of Spectral Gems Incorporated, a wholesale supplier of award-winning faceted gemstones to the jewelry trade. Rachel is evolving in her artistic and likely business legacy and has been cutting and selling gemstones with her dad since age 7. She recently completed her 32nd stone and plans to major in communications or journalism in college someday, and indeed hope to combine her love for gemstones, writing, and history in her future career. And in fact, I've got a piece right in front of me, which is what got us reconnected, right, Rachel? Is this lovely story that was published in the Rock and Gem magazine. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. It was a really exciting story to write, you know, just bringing back so many memories, you know, time with Dad, and it was just so much fun to write, and then, you know, of course, to have it published.
Yeah, excellent. What's been the reaction, you know, because this is a very prominent trade magazine in the gem field?
Yes, well, you know, so many emails to my dad, you know, congratulating him,
and
also me, you know, just, you know, exciting, you know, I get to write my own story and have it published,
sure.
You know, just so exciting, and, you know, for the people who I have sold stones to, you know, there were a few pictures for them in there, so that was exciting to see, you know, their stone, their cutter, and then see that in a magazine.
And as well, I also see the noted next to all the lovely photographs. I have a copy of this article in front of me. You can go, folks, to rockngem.com and pull up Rachel's story. That also the acknowledgement of different jewelry stores that you and your dad now have interfaced with. Well, Rachel, 7 years old, you cut your first stone. Tell us about that story.
Well, you know, I think it was more Dad than me. You know, I was sitting on his lap, and, you know, I've been begging him, you know. He hadn't been cutting for that long, and I really had no idea what this whole thing was about. But, you know, I want to do whatever Dad's doing.
Sure.
So, you know, I got to sit on his lap, and, you know, his hand is on top of mine, you know. So I think it was like him, more him than me. But, you know, I have that memory, you know, in my mind. And so, you know, it's evolved over the years. You know, I do a little more cutting now than he does for me. But, you know, then it was time with Dad and just doing what he was doing. And, you know, that was really special to have that young.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I still have my first stone. And, you know, it's just, it's been really special to have that as I'm growing up.
Well, and to think that you've got a 10-year legacy at age 17 with a trade, that's the other thing for individuals to take note. Of course, I have something that's similar in my own lineage with my husband, who probably had already rebuilt a motorcycle before he ever learned how to, you know, read or look at comic books. Who knows? But
right,
it also
right.
strikes me, there's a popular country western music song right out now by Trace Adkins with his daughter Trinity, and it's and she thinks this is about fishing. And it's a heart, just an absolute tearjerker because, you know, to the little girl it might be she's learning how to fish, but to Dad it's so much more. And in
yeah.
fact, the fishing pole's even pink, I think, in the video that they did together on YouTube. So gem cutting, you know, for those who might not be aware of it, this truly is an art. What is all involved? Give us kind of the preliminary steps in the process.
Well, it really is a complete process, you know, taking a piece of rough. And, you know, I've watched Dad for years, you know, picking his piece of rough from vendors, or, you know, he takes his own trips to Africa, choosing the right piece of rough, and then choosing what shape you're going to do it in based on the shape of the piece of rough and the orientation of the color. And then, you know, you take away the unwanted material, so you have a better shape to prepare it. And then you're going to put it on what we call a dop. So it's a metal stick, and then that goes in the machine. And then you begin on the bottom part of the stone. And, you know, it's kind of a working process as it goes along. And, you know, when something happens and you're not expecting it, mm-hmm. I've learned to be flexible.
Right.
Something
right.
I've learned from my dad. And you just go with the flow. And then you move to the top. And, you know, there's the, you start by putting in the facets, and then you slowly move to a finer grit, we call it. So it slowly has a better polish. And my favorite part is actually polishing, because then you really get to see what the color is going to be of the stone. And then it gets really exciting, and then you just want to be done so you can look at it on your hand.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think you commented earlier about the surprises, that those aren't all just bad, right? I mean, I'm sure there's some point that you get into that rough and suddenly this true brilliance jumps out at you, right?
Yes. It's really cool sometimes. You'll look at the stone and all of a sudden it's there, and it's just like the moment you're going, oh my gosh, this can be a really cool stone.
Right, and here you thought you were maybe, you had it one direction, but if you flipped it in a different direction, then suddenly something else would pop out. Well, give our listeners appreciation for the types of stones. I said in the introduction you've done 32. So what type of gemstones have you brought to bear?
Well, I certainly started with quartz. They're a little bit easier to cut. And I moved on to some garnets. I've done some aquamarines. And spinel, which is actually my favorite gemstone species, and that's the one that I have in my ring.
And what stone again is that? Spinel.
Spinel.
And where does that
more rare?
Where does that come from?
Several places. Mine actually comes from Tanzania, though.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad picked up my piece of rough when he went there on one of his trips. You have to ask him for all the, you know, specific details. I'm not that good yet. But spinel comes a lot from Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
So I've stayed a little bit with perhaps the easier, species. But, you know, we're branching out a little bit.
And when you say easiest, is that based on the roughness of the stone or the density of the stone? What makes an easy stone, Rachel?
Well, some of them are very hard to polish. Some of them are they crack very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So I leave those for Dad to handle.
Right, you delegate
and,
up.
Yeah, and some of them, you know, inclusions will appear. You know, things you don't see before you begin cutting, they'll come up as you're cutting. So that can be a little bit disheartening when you're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So those make some harder things to cut.
But that's all part of that challenge, and that also the surprise that you get of the kind of the unveiling of these stones. Well, I should mention to our listeners that actually Rachel and I are connected. My husband Ted and I had the opportunity to meet your parents at a gem tasting party, as they call it, at Abbott Taylor Jewelers. And of course, Abbott is a longtime sponsor of our radio show. And in the course of that, we got exposed to Rachel's stones, because of course, Dad had one passed around, a little bit staged up marketing, and my husband snatched it right up. You did a beautiful smoky quartz that now is a pendant for my 87-year-old mother-in-law, and she wears it constantly down in Florida.
Oh, good. I love hearing, you know, stories of, you know, my stones and, you know, the people they've gone to live with. That's like the best part.
Yeah, is that right? So I guess I should get back then. So you don't keep your gemstones then? You sell them?
Well, I do sell them, except for the one I just couldn't sell.
Right, right.
And so I received that in a ring for my 17th birthday, or my 15th birthday. I'm now 17. And but I do sell the rest of them through my dad's business, and I just save that money up for my college savings account.
That's great. And you're calling it Rachel's Rarities. I love that tagline.
Well, I think I came up with that name when I was, I don't know, I think maybe 10. And I don't know, it just came to me one day, but I like the rare stones the best because I think they don't get as much attention, so I like them better. So I guess I thought when I have my own business, I would carry all the rare ones. So
mm-hmm.
Rachel's Rarities.
And so, you know, you take us back, this idea that you love staying connected with your creations, and some of the stories then of who owns your stones. What have you heard back from people?
Well, you know, usually I'm not with my parents on all their selling trips, but, you know, they'll call me after the event and, you know, tell me, you know, your stone's sold. And so usually I write a note, and sometimes I've been able to, you know, talk to on the phone some customers or, you know, email with them. And, you know, I have had some in Newfoundland and, of course, at Abbott Taylor. So, you know, they're all over. And, you know, just like the story of your mother-in-law, you know, some of them have been so special, you know, and I love, just love hearing those stories of, you know, how they could make a difference or just be, you know, a light in someone's life.
Absolutely. The prospect now of course, you and your dad are in this business of providing the stones. What about the influence, or do you ever feel once you've created the stone that you want to advise on the actual setting or how the piece would come about? Or is that something that really surprises you, too, when you see that picture from the jewelry store?
Well, that certainly is a surprise. I can't say I really have ever had the want to be involved in the setting part of it.
Okay.
I think it's kind of interesting because I have the cutting part, and then it goes to the customer, and their personality and their character mm-hmm. is reflected through their setting because they're the wearer.
Right.
So my part is in the stone, but then I think really the wearer gets to reflect themselves in the setting. So it's kind of a combination of both of us then.
And have you had contact with the actual jewelers that have collaborated with the end customer to create that? Has any of that ever influenced, for example, your decision on how you might cut a stone, or has it drawn you to go, you know, look at different types of faceting, knowing kind of what the end product would be?
Well, certainly through my dad, you know, he follows, you know, perhaps we should go down this route now, you know, and try this, and he knows what's easier to set, so he certainly guides me more in that. You know, I'm still learning, you know, that aspect of it. So I guess I follow his lead in that. You know, he's still, you know, I guess training me in mm-hmm, that part of mm-hmm. it.
That's great, and you're continuing to leverage his learning. Well, if I recall in part of your dad's story, it was actually a lot of his own passion for history that drove him into you know, a lot of travel, studying about countries, and lo and behold,
yes.
He finds himself now moving from a more traditional manufacturing technical trade over to something like precious stones. So I don't think it's a coincidence whatsoever that, like dad, like daughter, this whole history, desire to get to know the world. Now, so whenever you tag, have you got a passport, by the way, and you got any of these trips lined up to go with dad?
Well, I do have a passport. I've been a few places, but not quite yet on a, you know, gem mining trip. But, you know, I just, you know, keep putting that idea in his mind. It'll happen one day.
That's right. That's great. Well, because I think I recall with your father, that actually is one of the biggest compelling things, is his idea of going back year over year with some of these
yes.
gem traders and those that have the mines all around the country. And the whole idea of building relationships, right?
Yes, and when, you know, he goes to Africa, you know, yearly at least, and, you know, he really tries to work with the, you know, just the normal people who found something in their backyard mm-hmm. and, you know, those lower people, you know, not the big rough companies. So that's really special, and I'm looking forward to joining him in that endeavor.
Well, so you've commented about your dad being such a great teacher. What do you think the most important thing is that he's taught you, or the group of things?
Oh, that's hard. You know, so many memories. Certainly determination, you know, because, you know, cutting a stone, it's such a long process. So many things can come up that you're not expecting. Like I said before, you know, an inclusion appearing or, you know, more times than I can count, you know, I've done something to the stone I certainly didn't mean to do, but, you know, finding the determination to keep going, fix your mistakes, or go down a new path.
When you say it takes a long time, you're saying a period of days or weeks, or you just need to put it aside and let your creativity come? What do you mean by a long time?
Well, there's so many different steps to it, you know, different parts. That, you know, they take thought, they take focus, so you have to be determined to finish that step before you can move on to the next one.
That's exactly right.
So I find you need determination to be okay that you made a mistake and then move on with it. But also, I guess I would say, you know, perfection, but also being okay with, you know, it's good enough and we're just going to move on, and that can't be made any better, so we just have to be okay with that.
And, you know, those kinds
of... I am a perfectionist at heart, you know, so
yeah, exactly.
Okay with that.
Perfectionist at heart. I know what that's about. Well, it sounds like these kind of things are absolute life lessons. For those of you who've just tuned in, we're speaking with Rachel Derry, who's in partnership with her dad, Spectral Gems Incorporated, which is a wholesale supplier of award-winning faceted gemstones. Rachel is 17, and she's been cutting gems since she was 7 years old. So what would your advice be to someone who might have an interest to get involved in cutting gemstones, Rachel?
Well, I guess I would say be prepared for anything, but it's a very special art, and, you know, it's taught me so many things, you know, and, you know, it takes time, but it's very rewarding to work on something and be so focused on it, and then to have the reward of seeing it finished, and you have that sense of pride, you know, that you did that, and, you know, it really is such a beautiful creation that other people can enjoy. So I think it's a special art in that sense. So I guess, like my dad has taught me, determination would be my advice, to stick with it, because it is very rewarding in another sense, because people get to enjoy what you've created.
That's right. Well, we had mentioned that also in my introduction of you, that you really have a passion around communications and journalism, and also a hope to kind of marry that with the gemstone business, which you've done with this first launch of your first article in a trade publications, no less. So it's a very instructional piece to that extent for people. And again, it's www.rockingem.com. The idea of writing the article, was that something, you know, you've been paging through these magazines and thought, gee, I could do that? Or where'd it come from?
Well, you know, I joined my school newspaper last year. So I... you know, more writing ideas were just coming to me.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, I have such a cool story. Why don't I write about it? So I guess I hadn't really been thinking about it for that long, but it dawned on me, and it just ended up working out so well. And I sent it in, and, you know, here it is. I get the magazine one day, and, you know, it was right there. You know, a lot of it was just honoring my dad. You know, he's taught me so much, and, you know, not every kid can say, you know, this is what I get to do with my dad, so I can say that.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. In fact, in your article, you comment about, since we're into full production in the studio now, you needed to get a second machine, right?
Yes.
That's right. It's like, okay, Dad, move over, buddy, I'm coming in. That's great. Well, the article...
And that's the best part, looking across from him, you know, working together with him.
Well, that's right. Well, back to your writing and your writing career, I'll call you, because you have officially started being published. Was the article, it sounds like it wasn't hard to write then. It just kind of popped up.
Well, I certainly had my moments, mm-hmm. you know, as any writer does, you know, mind blocks. But it really wasn't, you know, I was, you know, it's just so many memories I could put into it. You know, I had a wealth of information I could work from, so... I guess in the scheme of writing articles, no, it wasn't hard, because it was so near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. In fact, the memories, because that first gemstone you cut was actually on Thanksgiving Day, right?
Yes. I've been begging Dad, so I said, you know, we've got a few hours. How about now, you know?
That's right. You get them in a rock and a hard place, they can't say no, right?
Right.
Well, to a writing career then, I mean, and your involvement in your high school newspaper, now you're publishing the piece of history that you've so loved to do, and also even back, I'll say, further to your sports. It sounds like you've got a pretty full plate now.
Yes, I do. You know, very little free time, but what else is high school for, you know? So, you know, I've got lots of things to write about, so I'm hoping somehow I can, you know, bring those all together. And maybe work on some writing this summer. You know, I've got a little bit of free time now, so maybe work on some of that. Not really sure how I want to put it all together, but I have so many passions, I know somehow I'll put them all together in one thing.
That's exactly right. In fact, you might not have to put them into one thing, right? You just keep the doors open. So
that's
you
true.
Did just wrap up school, right? So you're into the summer vacation.
Yes, I'm just starting to enjoy summer.
That's right. And I think that transition from junior year of high school to senior one is one of high reflection, right? Because you come back next fall, and not only, I'm guessing, you're going to have a full schedule, but also that whole journey of deciding what college,
yes.
right?
Yes, and college applications and scholarships and everything that goes with that.
Do you think, Rachel, that to pursue your art and artisan capability, I'll call it, is that something that you think is best assisted in this mentorship relationship with Dad, kind of try by fire, as opposed to, you know, is there a certificate school or program or some of these kind of things, even at the college level at an art and design institution? Do you know that yet?
Well, there certainly is, but I guess, you know, I don't know exactly what I want to do yet.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So certainly the mentoring with my dad, you know, it started out just as time with Dad, but, you know, it's turned into more and more. And so I guess, you know, now I'm just leaving it where it is because, you know, when I go away to college, you know, I can come home on weekends and cut with Dad. You know, that's special. So I guess I haven't gone down that path yet.
Yeah, it is.
About, you know, a trade school or something like that.
But the other piece of it, I got a sense, if I recall, when we interviewed your dad, Roger Derry, that the eye is in the beholder, the brilliance is in the eye of the beholder, we called it back in 2008, is that there's a whole community of you out there that support one another. Your dad talked about the other apprentices he brought into his studio to help, and I wouldn't be surprised, you know, even something like you're writing this article, you absolutely don't know what you've just given birth to, I guarantee, that this is going to be out there, particularly in the age of the internet, right? That it's going to come back to you, and, you know, who knows, somebody might come approach you to write a book on how to do this, right? That's equipped
True.
For those that are more junior.
Yes. Yes. Well,
so take me back. So what's the stone you've got right now in the shop ready to go, or have you got a new one in mind you're going to start?
Well, I'm thinking an aquamarine next.
Oh, my favorite stone.
It'll be a pretty cool piece of rough, and so I'm thinking an antique cushion, so that's my favorite. And I haven't cut any stones in the past month or so, finishing up school and everything. So I'm thinking that should be my next project.
And do you typically just have one project going, or do you do a multitude of them?
Typically just one. I like to finish one before I start the next one.
Mm-hmm.
And during the school year, you know, it's hard to find the time. So usually it's more on the weekends or on break. So, you know, sometimes I'll finish half a stone one weekend and do the next half the next weekend. So usually it's just one project at a time, but I'm hoping to do a little more this summer.
That's great. Well, I know we've acknowledged the connection to your father throughout the course of our discussion, this being Father's Day weekend, of course.
Yes.
But I think there's another party in this whole game, too, that's part of the business arm of Spectral Gem, and that's your mom. So tell me about that dynamic and what you've learned through her, too.
Well, she certainly is the backbone to both of us. You know, we do the cutting part. But, you know, she pays the bills, and she's always talking to the customers and the vendors and keeping us motivated to keep going and, you know, feeding us and all of that. So she certainly is our backbone, and we couldn't do it without her, you know. She's kind of in the background doing everything else while mm-hmm. we just do that one part of it. So we certainly couldn't do it without her.
And I think that's probably another big lesson learned for you as you decide where your career wants you to go, is this idea of how you surround yourself with people to do the things that they're gifted with so you can continue to explore your gifts to the next level.
Yes. Well, and the three of us together are great. We all bring a different part to the business, and we each do the part that we do best and bring our strengths to it.
That's wonderful. Well, Rachel, thanks so much for joining us today. And for our listeners, you can see Rachel's work and her father's work, as well as the glue that makes it all together with their mom, at spectralgems.net. And they're located in the Detroit, Michigan area, but they make tours all around the country to host gem tasting parties. And so also remember, you can check at Abbott Taylor Jewelers here locally in Tucson. That's atdiamonds.com. And who knows, that I'm certain, Rachel, we're going to have an opportunity to have you be part of the gem tasting party at some point so everyone can meet you here locally in Tucson.
Thank you again. Yes,
you bet.
I'm sure I will.
A real pleasure. And again, I commend Rachel's article at rockandgem.com to understand the full facets of this multifaceted young lady and her career in various spaces. Have a great weekend, and all the best to your parents too, Rachel.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. You bet. Bye-bye.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.